The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. To find out more about this talk show or other talk shows broadcasting on KUCI, log on to our website at kuci.org or check out the latest program guide.
Good morning and welcome to Writers on Writing on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. We're broadcasting from the University of California campus in Irvine, streaming on the web at kuci.org and always available via podcast. We are on iTunes. We're always on Stitcher and other podcast platforms under Writers on Writing. I'm your host for the hour, Marie Stone. We are doing what we do each and every Wednesday morning, which is chat with authors about their books, their process, their craft. Today is a little less craft and a little more fun for pure book lovers and readers, perhaps especially cool Christmas and Hanukkah gift ideas for this upcoming season. If you've got any book lovers on your list, I think you're going to be pleased. If you're of a certain age, you might remember the Yellow Pages, the old phone books we used before the internet existed. And the Call Me Ishmael phone book is an interactive guide to books. It's what we're talking about today. I hadn't heard of anything like it before, and I totally fell in love with this concept. So I'm chatting with the geniuses behind it today. Stephanie Kent and Logan Smalley are the co-creators of Call Me Ishmael. Steph is a writer, media producer, and amateur boxer. Logan is an award-winning filmmaker and the founding director of TED-Ed. Call Me Ishmael phone book is published by Avid Readers Press, and it will drive our chat this morning. Steph and Logan, welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah. So before we dive into the book, I'd like to hear more about you guys. You're obviously both book lovers. Steph, I know you're a writer. So tell me a little bit about, you know, kind of your relationship with books, your relationship with writing, and a little bit more about you two before we hit the book.
Sure. So for me, I am definitely a reader before I'm anything else. I grew up, my parents used to say when they were a young couple, they had to have a whole separate budget in their finances for how much reading and just books I was consuming. So I've always really loved to read. And as I got older and started my career, that sort of manifested in lots of different ways of exploring storytelling. So I've always had a writing practice just personally, but also have really loved experiencing new media and doing some work with video production and audio production in my day jobs. And then this Ishmael project that we'll talk more about has really been this amazing way to sort of combine all of those things.
How about you, Logan?
Yeah, I'm Steph's definitely the most avid reader I know and an amazing writer. For me, I'm sort of more just a creative project guy in general. I certainly love writing. I certainly love reading and creating stuff. And so whether it's films or animations or short form writing projects, I have a deep appreciation for that. I try my hand at it here and there and, you know, do things that I'm proud of that, you know, I hope the world will see one day. And also a lot of stuff that I hope the world will never see. But yeah, this Call Me Ishmael phone book project, we're certainly extremely proud of it. And we're so excited that the world will experience it. And we appreciate you sharing it.
Yeah. So let's get into it. Tell me a little bit about, first of all, just how you conceived of the idea, where the idea came from.
Yeah. So the project actually started, I think, 4 or 5 years ago. We live in New York City, and we were actually at a pretty famous writing bar, a bar for writers called the White Horse Tavern in the West Village. And we had just started having a conversation about books that we love. And Logan has this sort of obsession that I've never met with anybody else of checking out books by their first sentence. So when I'm bookstore browsing with Logan, he's just sort of going book to book, opening them and browsing for sentences.
Yeah, it's really a compulsion.
So we started talking about our favorite famous first sentences. And of course, you can't talk opening lines in literature without talking about Moby Dick, which starts, "Call me Ishmael." So we sort of spotted the pun there and started a conversation imagining, what if Ishmael had a cell phone? And just sort of came up with this crazy idea to give Ishmael a phone number and see if people would call and leave messages about books that they love. So we sort of jumped in and 24 hours later had set up this voicemail box, invited some of our close friends and good readers that we know to call and leave messages, and started sharing them online. And very quickly, that started spreading into more of our friends calling, and then people we didn't know calling, and then many, many people we didn't know calling. And fast forward a couple of years later, we have thousands of calls from anonymous bibliophiles talking about the books that they love.
This is crazy. Okay. So you have a phone. I'm just trying to figure out how it all worked at the beginning. So you had a phone number and then people would call and just leave a general voicemail. So you didn't have extensions associated with it as you do now, right?
That's correct. So the way that it worked was it's an answering machine, old school answering machine. And it says, hi, this is Ishmael. Leave me a message about a book that you love and a story you lived. And thousands of people did that. Someone's probably calling Ishmael right now. And what we did with this phone book is we took the thousands of messages that people left us and we made them accessible through extensions. So, you know, it is a physical book, it's a phone book. And when you open it, you'll see books you love, books you've never heard of, writers you love, writers you've never heard of. And each one of them has an extension associated with them. So you dial the number and then you dial the extension and you'll hear an anonymous bibliophile story about their most beloved book. And you know, the stories are not simple book recommendations, not that we have anything against book recommendations. They're actually quite heartfelt stories, confessions, you know, unique stories of how they discovered a book or how a book changed their life. So it's a really kind of unique thing colored by the human voice that helps you appreciate books in a different way and connect with both books and people in a surprising way.
And it's so perfect for our times right now. I don't know if you, did you ever hear there was a This American Life episode, that podcast, and it was in 2016. So it was about the time that you guys were conceiving of this idea. And it was a phone set up actually it was set up in Japan. And it was a way for people to say goodbye to their, you know, to talk to the dead.
Yes.
They were recording these messages for people who didn't get to say goodbye or people who still had something left to say to their dead loved ones. And I thought of that immediately when I you know, started listening to a lot of these voicemail messages from people that were so personal and so confessional and so heartbreaking that we can say things into a phone, even if there is somebody on the other end of the line, but if it's just a recording, it's even more easy, you know, like the stranger on the plane, that you can just start unloading yourself onto this voicemail.
That was one of the things that we were really struck by immediately, is how intimate and personal many of the messages are. I think there's something just about holding a phone up to your ear, especially now, which none of us do anymore. We're all, texting or DMing on different social networks. But there's something about actually physically holding a phone and just talking to someone without any judgment, without any reaction, that just unlocks this like sensitivity and openness in people. And so a lot of our messages really, really show that they're so beautiful to hear something like that from a stranger.
I would only add, I have heard that wonderful This American Life episode. And we also, ever since we got into this project, sort of, you can imagine people often forward us novel phone projects. There are quite a few in the world, that Japanese phone for the dead being one of them. And it's interesting to observe that there's a really sort of fuzzy, hard to place your finger on, but quite profound connection between phones and literature and some of the dynamics that you're talking about. For example, there is a phone in the desert, that's what I had gotten mixed up, that rings. And there's phones elsewhere in the world where people call that phone. And so if by chance someone were walking through the desert, your story would be heard, but otherwise it's not heard. You know, these very sweeping, very, you know, kind of philosophical, soulful questions. And we think our book, we hope our book captures and honors that relative to the bibliophiles who were brave enough to call Ishmael.
And then there's another component where there are phones set up in either libraries or bookstores or museums. I guess anybody who wishes to do this, kind of like the free little libraries that are popping up everywhere, can buy a phone, right? Can buy one of these rotary phones to record, so people walking through their bookstore can record the messages. Talk a little bit about how that part works.
Yeah, so that was really when people started forwarding us phone-related projects. So kind of after we launched Call Me Ishmael as a phone number and answering machine and started to get thousands of messages, our question has just been, how do we share these messages in the context of books so that when people hear one that inspires them, they could grab a book and, you know, do this wonderful thing called reading. And one of the answers that we came up with was these art installations of rotary phones that could be hosted inside of libraries, bookstores, coffee shops, schools, any literary place, really, homes. And so Steph is the, the builder here, so I'm going to kick it over to her to talk about how they work. But
yeah, they're cool. They're so fun to work on. They basically are just these little phones that we got. We open them up and hack them and essentially load them up with all of the different calls that we've received. So if you're a bookstore or a library or even a school who wants to have these sort of enchanted devices as a way to help your community experience and share the love of reading, you can actually act as a curator and decide which of our thousands of stories you want to share. And it's sort of like a little living playlist that anybody who's walking by can pick up a receiver and dial a number and get a book recommendation.
Oh, and a fun update. We synced it, if you will, to the, it's funny to talk about these like these rotary phones and like modern words like syncing. They're actually battery powered too. So not only are they rotary phones, but they're portable rotary phones. We're pretty proud of that. But anyways, we synced them, their internal softwares and stuff to respect the listings in the Call Me Ishmael phone book as well. So if you have a phone book and you're near a Call Me Ishmael phone, or more likely if you're in a bookstore and they have Call Me Ishmael phone books and you see a Call Me Ishmael phone, you could dial the extensions and it would automatically play the stories as well. So it's just a fun way to, you know, celebrate and discover great books. That's what we try and do.
It's so cool. Well, we alluded to this before, but I also just want to say it's just the perfect book for the COVID times, right? Isolation. And, you know, we're all, it's a wonderful way, you know, as they keep saying alone together, it's a wonderful way to be alone together. You know, you have this, everybody now has a cell phone, and we'll keep plugging the phone number for this so people can call even if they don't have the book yet and you know, leave their own voicemail messages. But yeah, it's kind of a neat way to feel a little bit less isolated, right? And of course, I don't think you could have anticipated that when the project first started, but what it's born into is really incredible.
Thank you. Yeah, it was sort of a saving grace, especially for those first couple of really hard, uncertain months of the pandemic earlier this year. We were in the finishing phases of the book and, you know, going through the edits and just really pouring ourselves into it and listening to these calls to take a step back, every day my job is to wake up and check Ishmael's voicemail box and see what messages were left to us. And that was like already the most joyful part of my day. But now, especially that I'm missing so many people and just community in general, it's been this sort of lifeline of getting to hear what people are reading and what they're going through, or books that they haven't read recently that they're remembering. And it has done me a world of emotional good and also kept me really busy with book recommendations, which is very appreciated in these times.
I think my take on the way that it makes us feel connected is it's more similar to books than, you know, kind of audio or social media, or even though it is a, you know, an audio experience. And the reason that I say that is, for me, and maybe this is just me, I'm kind of looking at Steph for assurance over here, but when I read a great book, I kind of feel like that little internal voice in my head that I've had for 38 years now, when the book really resonates, I feel understood, or I feel like I'm understanding something. Mm-hmm. And you kind of get a similar feeling when you hear someone call in and express such a deep thing as a love for a book that changed their life. Like you just feel like this voice that, you know, we has always been inside of us and is never going to be heard and be understood. A little bit of it, that's what books are good at, as helping us feel understood or helping us understand something. And I feel like our Call Me Ishmael phone book takes a different approach to that same quality of literature and books.
Well, and to your point, it also is this really wonderful marrying of current technology with really old, I mean, you would almost even say the physical hardcover book is, it's enjoying a resurgence, but it was kind of thought of as, you know, analog as opposed to our digital world, right? And so you have the rotary phone idea with the, you know, so many people were talking about their old books, you know, they had old copies, first editions of To Kill a Mockingbird that had all these markings in them that of course you can't do when you have an ebook. So it's this really cool marrying of current technology that allows this to reach a wider scope with kind of the old, you know, 1950s digital analog phone book, yellow pages stuff. And I do think there's something there. Yeah.
Well, don't forget, when we share them online, we use an old school typewriter.
Yes, right.
Yeah. So that's, we got one other one. We always joke that we really want this is gonna sound like a plug. It's not a plug, it's a joke. We really want Whiteout to be our sponsor.
Yeah, we think we're the only people that still buy Whiteout for our typewriter transcripts.
I was just going to say when I was watching the typewriter, yeah, there were the big blotches of whiteout, right?
We realized early on that doing it perfectly straight through was not in the cards for us.
It's even better with the whiteout, I think. I think it's even better. So let's get into some of the really, well, we can get into the categories as well as some of these really wonderful voicemails that were left so that, you know, people can kind of get a flavor. There were a lot of coming of age people writing in about coming of age novels. I mean, To Kill a Mockingbird was one, Catcher in the Rye had a lot. And again, and The Diary of Anne Frank. And as we alluded to, there was one entry for, I think it was The Diary of Anne Frank, about a young woman who sounded suicidal and she was leaving her own diaries as sort of a document for her parents to discover after she was gone so they would understand who she was. And then kind of came through this experience understanding she was going to live. And now she was creating a document for herself to look back on this experience that she went through. And I was just thinking how many people would be aided in the service of hearing something like that, especially now we keep going back to the COVID times, but especially now people hearing that. And I was wondering if you could just kind of generally talk about sort of the confessional aspect of some of these and some of the ones that brought you either solace or a special heartbreak or, you know, kind of some of the ones that stood out in that confessional regard.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Anne Frank one that you really perfectly just summarized is certainly the top of my list. I think that was like in the probably the first 100 calls that we received. So one of the first ones where we don't know the person that called, it was totally anonymous. But I think what's really interesting about a lot of the calls that are sort of heavier in the way that you're describing is that they're offered not as like a complaint or a moping or like anything other than trying to help somebody else by saying, this book really moved me, and then it helped me get through a really difficult time. And that's one of the most common themes across all of the calls that we get is this book helped me, and I hope that it'll help you too. So other ones that sort of follow that, we have one that's actually really beautiful. It's about Sandra Cisneros' House on Mango Street, and it's about this sounds like a younger person. I mean, you never really know who's behind the call, but the voice is a little bit younger, and the caller is saying, I loved reading this. It was really important to me because this main character had a big family like me and had to take care of younger siblings like me and had dark hair and dark skin and dark eyes like me. And it's just been that I listen to that one often as a reminder to myself how important it is to share stories from all different perspectives, from all different authors, featuring all different types of characters, just because the power of the right person finding the right book is really immense.
Yeah, I would second that one. That's one of my favorite extensions for sure. I've been thinking about it. Two come to mind that have really stuck with me. One is The Oldest Living Things on Earth. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
By
Rachel Sussman.
Rachel Sussman. Good memory. The caller is an anonymous caller who just talks about how reading this book that is kind of a collection of essays about the oldest living things on Earth. And how understanding deep time and thinking about deep time puts a different lens over the whole way you see the world. And this book was such a gift to that regard. And so I just often like something about the cadence of the caller's voice, plus the nature of the story, plus this, you know, hunger for nature that we're feeling right now, that call's been popping into my mind quite a bit.
They're also, I have to remind us, because so often I think when I talk about my favorite calls, the sort of deeply impactful, big life moment changing, getting you through a hard time are the ones that I think of. But there are also some really, really joyful, really, really light and really funny calls. We have actually several calls where people sing over the course of their message. Yeah. And there's this one that's this parent, I think it's a father, talking about reading this kid's book called Pajama Time to his daughter. And he talks about with kid's books, you read them over and over and over again. And how as he was reading Pajama Time, he started doing this little song with it and he actually sings it. And it's like, I've heard it hundreds of times and it always makes me smile.
Yeah. It's so funny. One other quick one, just to throw it on there, is Atlas of Human Anatomy for the Artist by Stephen R. Peck. I'm reading that now. I believe it's a textbook.
Yeah.
I don't own it. I haven't read it. But the story told about it is the classic story. The caller calls in and talks about how a teacher believed in their artistic skills and believed in them so much that the teacher gave the student this book, their own copy of the book. And I think if we've all been lucky enough to have a good teacher, it's a really meaningful moment when you feel seen and heard by a teacher, and it can, you know, make all the difference in your life. And it did in this caller's life.
Yeah.
So I figure this audience that cares so much about craft listening in right now, it was a beautiful moment that speaks to craft of a budding artist being, you know, pushed along by a teacher and then becoming a professional artist. So I'll let you hear the call.
That is really cool. Yeah, to your point, Steph, about the children's books, there were so many funny, cute. I mean, yeah. I thought they'd all be very light, but there were some actual heavy children's book callers that said, you know, either they were looking back on a children's book and now they're an adult and how it changed their life or how it made them think of things differently. Or you're right, these poor parents that have to read. Somebody said, what book have you read the most? And I'm like, absolutely, Good Night Moon. That's the one.
One of our favorite calls is when a kindergarten class decided to call us about The Cat in the Hat Came Back. And I can summarize all 20 calls in one sentence. The Cat in the Hat Came Back. That was the message.
Yeah, that was a good day.
I also loved how the phone book called out all of the independent bookstores, which we always like to do on the show, really give independent bookstores their due. And there are so many great interviews that I think Steph, maybe both of you did with these independent bookstores, and the breadth and interest of, you know, they're all across the United States. I don't know how you chose them, but tell me a little bit about some of your favorite discoveries in the independent bookstore world.
Oh gosh, it was like, it's hard to choose a favorite part of this book, but for me, that one was the ultimate honor and joy. So we actually thought long and hard about how to honor independent bookstores. One, because we just love them and like to be around them, like to think about them, like to visit them. But two, because when we started thinking about the phone book, we started brainstorming what else would be in it other than these calls, these listings. And, you know, actually, I think we have the largest private collection of telephone directories in New York City. We went through some really crazy means to get our hands on old phone books. And as we were just sort of flipping through them, trying to figure out what else would be in our literary version of the phone book, you know, we were really drawn to how can we honor places, because that's what you use a phone book for, to call things that you love and to find and visit places that you love. And so for us, when we think about literary places, independent bookstores are the be all end all. So we have checklists per state of every independent bookstore in that state that you can visit.
Almost every. It's very hard to get a comprehensive list.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is constantly evolving. Yeah. And we're sure that there are some great ones.
And we're so sorry to anyone we miss, and we'll put you in a future copy.
Yes. It'll keep updating. But yeah, just, you know, we think that booksellers and bookstore owners have the most interesting job in the world. I mean, that's part of the joy of being a literary tourist. If you're someone that loves books and loves to travel, there's always a local independent bookstore that you can visit. And it's like the best way to get a sense of a place by seeing what they're reading. And so we decided to do these interviews with independent bookstores. We have one per state, plus a couple of other fun featured ones whose names of their businesses actually fit into different categories of our book. So that was really fun to explore. But yeah, we reached out to, you know, a ton of them, and the ones that were able and available to speak with us. We did. We'll continue to update that list. Actually, one of the best parts about the phone book is we can kind of add different things to the different extensions. So we're going to keep doing interviews and updating the book as time goes on. But, you know, other than just meeting lots of great bookish people, I actually learned a ton about independent bookstores from having these conversations. One of the things going back to literary tourism and just visiting the different stores that you can go to if you're in a new town is that, you know, they're all pretty small for all intents and purposes. We're not talking about big warehouses when we talk about independent bookstores, although some of them are. Kona Bay Books in Hawaii, I believe, is a warehouse. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, they all are basically masters of curation. They're buying books for their community, things that they know their community will love, things that they hope their community will try out and read. And they're just like really, really experts at figuring out how to fill their shelves in the best way. So that was something that I didn't know before. I think I just thought every bookstore had like one copy of every single book hidden under tables or behind desks or something. But they actually take like a ton of pride in what they have and going through the process of deciding what's going to be in there. So through the conversations, you'll hear more facts like that, but they were fascinating and so, so kind, and they do good work.
Yeah, and Steph mentioned this, but one thing we're really excited about is that the dynamic nature of the Call Me Ishmael phone book. Steph conducted an interview with one in every state, as she said, but we plan to continue conducting them. So we'll be actually updating the book over time with additional interviews from additional bookstores in the state. So if you're not in there, let us know. And if you're thinking about starting a bookstore, yeah, let us know. We'd love to. Well, one of the things we're trying to do is provide information to the people who get our book, who share the fantasy, surely, that all bibliophiles share, which is owning and operating a bookstore. So we feel like trying to get bookstore owners to talk about that is a really cool, you know, perspective that the book can lend.
Can I add one thing to the fantasy? It's still absolutely a fantasy, but one thing I think every single bookstore owner I talk to mentioned to me is that they don't have any time to sit around and read while they're at work, which actually was what I was like picturing when I, yes, when I think about their job. So still seems like an amazing job, but you do not do a lot of reading while you're clocked in.
That's only in the movies, right? Right.
In the movies. Yes.
There was a really great interview that you did. I think it was a bookstore in California it's like a bodice ripper. I think that's actually what it's called, right?
Yeah, it's called The Ripped Bodice, and it's in Los Angeles, and it's run by two sisters, which also sounds so cool. And yeah, they have this romance bookstore. I also found, I can't even like keep up with my brain how much I want to talk about all of these stores, as you can tell. But that one is run by two sisters. It's a romance bookshop, and it's so fascinating the approach that they took. It's called the Ripped Bodice because bodice rippers was like kind of a derogatory name for like calling romance books trashy. And the two sisters have this sort of philosophy that no, these books make us happy. They're great. We can learn a lot about love and sex and romance and femininity and other things and desire. And they're just sort of like reclaiming it. So they have this really beautiful, really feminine bookstore that's dressed in a lot of pink. They also have a lot of poetry. They have romance in like lots of different ways. And yeah, they do such great work helping people find books that they'll love.
It's funny because I had just listened to that one, and I think the owner made some comment about how many people are embarrassed by their reading tastes, or, you know, they don't want to admit to the bookstore owner, you know, either I have questions about sex or I want to read about sex. She's like, so many people are embarrassed. And then I had listened to somebody left a review of 50 Shades of Grey. And I think that's exactly what she said was, I'm so embarrassed. And I, you know, I hope this is anonymous. And so I thought that was yet another cool way for people to feel alone together, right? That apparently if you're too embarrassed to talk to it about with your friends or family, whoever you are, it's another way to build community and to feel less alone and to feel like, you know, this is totally normal and it's not a big deal. What a cool service that was too, you know, from the other end of the, you know, heavy spectrum to the kind of more fun, lighthearted romance spectrum. I thought, you know, you get every note on the scale and in books. So that was cool. Oh, the other thing I thought was so cool were the author graves. I'm a cemetery buff and I love seeking out author graves, which I've been to several, and now I find so many more. And so you can hear about all these author great.
Yes, we should specify that there's all sorts of literary sites you can visit, including many resting places.
So yeah,
not a grave section specifically, but yeah, lots of those. I'm blanking on the name, but who's the one where you visit and you're supposed to leave him whiskey?
Oh, yes. I read that one too. Yeah. He's somewhere in the South, as I recall. Yes. Yeah. He was like, yeah.
Oh,
I know it's going to kill.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. It's Faulkner, right? Faulkner.
I think it is Faulkner.
Yeah.
But no, it was fun to research. So we found a couple different literary places to visit in every state as well.
I was going to say, if it's a writer, you could leave whiskey on anybody, any writer's grave. They'll probably appreciate it, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So there are libraries, museums. Yeah. Just in any kind of bookish place. There are even like Circus from Vegas, because it appears in a novel. So if it's a prominent place that shows up in a scene in a famous novel, you even have some of those in here. So it's, I mean, no matter how much you've read, you can find so many crazy things that you would have no idea sort of existed.
I think we're just starting to get people who've had their hands on the book. And they're giving us feedback. And we were so hopeful that this would be the case. But yeah, to stick the landing on building out the picture, it looks like the Yellow Pages. When you open it, every page has a different quirky category under which you find listings for books, as well as creative literary adverts for books. And the thing that I was going to say is, like, for example, in the dating section, there's a literary advert that says Jay's Flower Shop. We specialize in daisies, extension 0250, right? And so when you see that, you're like, oh, dating, Jay's Flower Shop, specialize in daisies. I bet that's Great Gatsby, right? And then you call it and you actually hear a person leaving a message about Great Gatsby. And so it's just page after page. And then of course, some of the places, to your point, are literary landmarks. And we just tried to really just pack it full of, you know, we tried to make the ultimate book lover's book.
And boy, did you. And a lot of them, like somebody called in for Beloved, and it had absolutely nothing really to do with Beloved. It was just, he really liked this book and he lent it to his friend and it like ruined their friendship. So some of them don't even specifically have to do with, you know, as you said, they're not all book reviews, but they're just like, somehow they had some connection to this physical object that meant so much to them that, you know, it ruined their longstanding friendship, I guess. But you kind of never know what you're going to get when you call in, right? I mean, it's
right.
They're all personal stories. So do you have any, or will you have any author interviews, or do the authors respond, or do the authors know this is going on? Or tell me a little bit about the other end of that.
Yeah. So we didn't interview any authors specifically for this, partly because we sort of like focusing on the reader side and sort of helping more people thank authors or tell them how much their book meant to them versus, you know, what obviously you're so talented at, which is figuring out how things are made. So we're sort of at the other end of the reading spectrum. But we do actually have a section in the book called Authors, which is where we feature calls by authors. So we've had a lot of authors call in and tell us about books that mattered to them. Sometimes they talk about their own books, but more often than not, we find it's kind of this interesting little chain of gratitude where if an author hears somebody talk about their book, they want to pay it forward and talk about somebody else's book that they really loved. So we love to feature those.
The other thing I would add about authors is that whenever we share some of these stories on social media, if it's a living author, we tag them, and we found the response to be so joyful and fun. I think it's the right amount of just like quirkiness to be different than, I think, you know, naturally any writer loves hearing what a reader thinks about their work, but the fact that a reader picked up their phone, called a fictitious character from the 1800s, left a message, and then the people who run that voicemail box shared it online and tagged them. For example, there was a beautiful call about Wild by Cheryl Strayed, yeah. And we shared that online, and Cheryl responded to the reader. And, you know, we don't even know if the reader knows that Cheryl heard it. We have no idea because wow. They're all anonymous callers. Another one was Curtis Sittenfeld.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. John Green has certainly responded to a few of the calls about his books and on and on. So we love, it's a very precious part of the book.
There's so many John Green calls. I mean, obviously he's been so influential in so many young people coming of age, I think. And it is I can't even imagine what would be better for an author than to hear these, you know, that would be the ultimate I mean, book sales are one thing, but hearing, you know, that how their books touch people's lives, I mean, that would just be, you could just die happy right then. That'd be great. My guests this morning are Stephanie Kent and Logan Smalley. The book we're talking about is the Call My Ishmael phone book. I'm going to keep plugging the phone number because people can just play around with it if that's okay. Is it okay to put the phone number out there?
Yeah, of course. Do you want us to rattle it off for you?
Yeah, please do. Please do.
All right. You can call Ishmael at 774-325-0503.
And when you call, it'll go straight to voicemail and you can leave a message about a book that you love, or you can dial an extension. And if you had your phone book, you'd have thousands of extensions that you could dial. But if you want one in the interim, I recommend 4632, which will lead you to a story about Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen, or 8864, which is The House on Mango Street by Sandra Cisneros. I think we brought up that second one earlier in the call.
Perfect. I love hearing your voice, Logan, because I've been calling the phone number for the last like 2 or 3 weeks, and I'm like, it's you.
Hey, you are the only person who loves hearing my voice right now.
Untrue.
So let's talk about project management a little bit, because this sounds hard. It sounds overwhelming. And so just from a like, okay, so you have thousands of voicemails, and you obviously, I didn't realize this, but you obviously are over there collecting a lot of phone books so that you see what phone books have looked like over the years. So tell me a little bit about organizing, filing, you know, trying to figure out what to include, what not to include, the layout, how to keep the project going. I mean, it sounds like because it's updating itself. I don't know how many calls do you get a day, would you say?
You know, it really varies, anywhere from one or two to what's the record for the most in a day.
So the reason there are so many John Green calls is he shared it once from his Twitter, and it, you know, it was hundreds a minute.
So anywhere in there, that's not the normal end of the spectrum, I'd say, like.
Certainly every day.
Yeah.
So if we're lucky, someone's calling Ishmael right now, but they will definitely call Ishmael. Someone will call Ishmael before the sun goes down.
So we're, like I said, we're checking them every day. And then when we decided to turn them into a book, we were actually in great shape because Logan is like a media management genius. Even when the project was brand new, he set up this system of keeping track of everything that comes in and making sure that everything is filed really properly. And so we just kind of have a good system for knowing who calls about what that we built off of. But you know, for the book specifically, so we went back and listened to all the calls, which took quite a bit of time, and just listened to them with a really open mind, looking out for themes. We would kind of keep this running list of ideas about different categories they could be in. And that list really evolved over time. You know, we started out thinking of things like love, heartbreak, death, depression, but also like fiction, nonfiction, science fiction, and looking at more traditional categories like that, but kind of came to the understanding really quickly that while a lot of our calls could fit into those more traditional categories, what we really loved about them is that they kind of straddled categories and were really different. They were in lists that you wouldn't usually find in bookstores or magazines. And it was kind of fun to lean more into those stranger ones. So one of the oddest ones that actually ended up being one of my favorite categories, we have a category about pigs. We have a lot of calls about books about pigs, people talking about characters that are pigs. So we've got like 5 or 6 really great calls that have to do with pigs. And so that was enough to make that a category. Airplanes, we have people calling about books that they read while they were in root on an airplane somewhere, and that made its own fun little category. So with the categories, that was really where we started with the book, and we were looking at those of ways that people could both find what they were looking for but also be sort of surprised and delighted and discover something new that they weren't expecting.
Say, I think you can picture Steph in front of a 12-foot by 12-foot wall of notes, slowly ruling out the traditional, you know, siloed categories of literature and slowly ruling in really funky categories that are so fun to explore and that kind of feel, like we said, pigs and pets and children and motherhood and, you know, like you, that I wish we could, you know, kind of show you just all the categories at once, but
Yeah, we've got, if you check out our Instagram, we have some pictures of the post-it craziness.
History, hospitals, Idaho, inspiration, loneliness, loss, lost and found, Maine, Massachusetts. It's in dialogue with the old phone books, because if you remember, you know, it's sort of like automotives was on the first page. And
yeah, to plumbers, to childcare.
Yeah, so it's fun.
It is so fun. Well, first of all, give us your Instagram plug, because that's good for people to know.
Oh, yeah. So for Ishmael, it's Calling Ishmael.
Calling Ishmael on Instagram. On Instagram,
Twitter, and then on YouTube, we are Call Me Ishmael.
That is so cool. And we should also mention you've got an awesome website that has a sampling of some of your favorite calls, and it's got obviously information on how to get the book, but it's callmeishmael.com. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's yeah. Correct.
So cool. Okay. So you put up a big poster board of, like, did you kind of visually lay this out so that you had the categories up there and then you, okay.
Yeah, we had to, one, just to like see, okay, post-its are magical. Just being able to see everything in front of you in a physical way is really helpful. But then also, as we started to assign or, you know, tag the different calls that we wanted to include and see which categories they fit into, there was this whole other layer of work that is not poetic at all, which is just making sure that they were well balanced and that there were enough calls to justify a category and that any page had X amount of categories. And there was really some like math and just layout and design work that had to be done. So the post-its were really helpful with that. And then once we had the categories and the calls laid out, we started thinking about the different interactive elements of it. So we had an idea for a long time that we really wanted the book to be participatory. So throughout the book, there are these prompts, these invitations to call, and they're sort of arranged categorically. So like in the teachers section, we have a prompt that says, is there a teacher that helped you discover one of your favorite books? Call and say thank you to them. And so that's nestled into a bunch of other calls you can listen to where somebody mentions a teacher that was really important to them. We have a call, we have a, in the section about parenting, there's one that's like, what is a book that you've either read to your child or can't wait to read to your child? Call and leave us a message about it. So I think next step was we built in all of these different prompts because we wanted people to feel really included and let everybody who was reading our book know that we wanted them to be part of the story. So that was really the next step. And then, like we mentioned, we have this sort of whole piece of work around literary tourism, which includes all of the different bookstore lists and the interviews with bookstores and the different literary places by state. So that was just really a lot of research, sort of thinking about what each state is known for in terms of authors and books that are actually set in those states, and thinking about how we could sort of find a couple of spots that really celebrated literature in those places. And I mean, that piece was just a total joy. Well, it was a joy and a frustration, because being stuck at home right now and not being able to go to all of these places is aspirational, but frustrating. So yeah, that was really a lot of traditional research. And then it came out to designing it and to laying it out. And, you know, we chose to work with Avid Reader Press on this project, and they were so wonderful. They totally understood what we were trying to get the book to look like. They were so helpful in what must have been like the most bizarre book that they've ever done, just because who designs a phone book anymore? And they were so great in helping us get it to look really beautiful.
Yeah. And I think the only thing I would add is that to anyone hearing this, and, you know, hopefully you're picturing a very interactive book, but there's also, in my opinion, a really beautiful part about it is the transcripts laid out. So there is a reading experience, not just a browsing and interacting experience. On, I don't know, every third or fourth page, we actually lay out the transcript of one of the calls that we received. So I'm looking at right now, I've just been thumbing through the book while sitting in the librarian section. There's a call about 13 Little Blue Envelopes by Maureen Johnson. Extension 335, if you want to listen to it, or sorry, 3355, if you want to listen to it. And it starts, "This is Miss Clark. I'm a school librarian. And when I remember moments in my life, I'll often associate them with books. When I was 35 years old, I was promoted to be the teen librarian at the public library where I worked. This terrified me, since it had been years since I'd read a teen book and I was sure that my recommendations would suck. And then it goes on for another sort of page, and lots of it ends up, there's a European scavenger hunt, and some at some point she brings in 13 little blue envelopes and talks about how it changed her life. So I actually, the point I was trying to make is that it's kind of a unique typeset and form of writing to see someone transcribed from their natural voice.
Yeah, right.
Talking to the phone. And so it's kind of neat, like the same way maybe like reading a script or a transcript of something, but folks put a lot of thought into these. So it looks, to me, it looks quite beautiful on the page.
I was going to ask, do you think that most people have pre-written what they're going to say when they call in? I kind of got the sense it was both ways, that somebody had, you know, they just called and started rambling a little bit, which was really interesting, because then kind of fresh stuff would come out.
I agree. I think it's more people talking off the top of their head, just because you can really tell with someone's emotion, and, you know, they have a lot of the natural ums or likes, or sometimes they'll say, oh, what was I going to say? So we get a lot of those, which I really like, but also some people feel more comfortable writing them out first, and you can tell when somebody's reading, but those are really beautiful too. And I think it's really nice when they take the time to really get their words straight and think about what they want to say. So we like both styles.
Yeah. Just managing the extension numbers feels logistically impossible. You did that.
Yeah.
9,999 is a big number.
Yes. Yes. I'm sure you did the math on how many combinations, you know, four digits make. I assume it's infinite, but
it was a lot. It was a lot.
Yeah. And some of them are appropriate, right? I mean, I think 666.
Oh, yes.
You noticed it. You are making Logan's day right now by saying
that. Like we would have finalized our book 2 weeks earlier, but I was like, Steph, the one to The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy has to be 4242.
Right, right.
Yes. Thank you so much for noticing that. All right,
validated.
I think the little prince was 7777. Yes, no, it was awesome. It was awesome. Oh, this is so cool. So I want to, let's give a little plug again to the phone number so people can call in and enjoy it. Do that again.
Yeah, sure. The phone number for Ishmael is 774-325-0503. And we encourage you to leave a message about a book you love and a story you lived.
Do you feel like the quality of, or the, either the quality or the quantity of the calls changed in light of the pandemic? Like, do you feel like the tone or the types of books that people were calling out changed at all, or have changed over time?
That's such a good question. Do you know what? We've been getting calls during the pandemic, but we actually haven't had a lot of calls mentioning the pandemic now that I think about it. So I think that's sort of surprising.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's,
maybe everyone's just trying to escape.
Yeah.
Well, I do feel like people are reading more. I mean, a lot of people tell me either they're having a really hard time reading or they're reading a ton more. And
I've heard that as well.
Yeah, that was one of the things that my independent bookstore owner friends were saying too, is that people are reading really like boldly, like they're reading a lot of books that they wouldn't normally. They're selling a lot of longer books. A lot of their regular customers whose reading habits they know really well are trying out different things, and that seems to be a trend for the better, that people are using books and literature to get through this rough year.
That's cool. I hear a lot of people going back to poetry too. You know, that poetry scares the heck out of most people. And a lot of people have been finding, you know, more solace or something. Maybe it's just short so that they can accomplish it. Right,
question we have for you, or I know the question, it's one we have for you. What book would you call Ishmael about?
It's funny. The only way that I can answer that is for the books that I was looking up in here. So I was looking up, somebody mentioned The Orphan Master's Son, which I adore. And I didn't see it in the phone book, but somebody mentioned that they called. So I was like, oh, I can't wait for the updates to this. So we have to figure out how you update it. But that one, I, you know, just marveled at how he accomplished that. And it's a question that I've given some thought to, because I was like, I have to do one of these, but I haven't fully settled on which one I want to do. I loved that one. I loved Cavalier and Clay. I'm going to give this more thought.
Yeah, well, I have to warn you.
Call you.
Yes, please call us anytime. But once you start thinking about books that you read through the lens of Call Me Ishmael and how you would share them, you kind of can't turn it off. So be prepared.
Be prepared. Right, right. That's a rabbit hole you could go down. And I assume that you can call and leave as many as you want, right? But you just choose the ones that are sort of,
yeah,
very cool. And then tell me how you're going to update it. So are you going to do like a new edition regularly, or is it updated through the website? Like I saw there was a way that you could subscribe through the website. Is that how you would keep up on the latest calls, or tell me a little bit about the updates?
Yeah, we're committed to sharing stories about books that people love for at least as long as Moby Dick is old. I don't know how to quantify. I was trying to come up with a, but yeah, forever. And there are several spots in the phone book that we can dynamically update over time. But then if we can't update the phone book, should we be so lucky to publish a second one? That would be one way. And of course, we'll also continuously publish and share them online on our social media and on our website.
Very cool. Also, tell me a little bit more about Avid Press, because I love pointing people to some of the smaller, more inventive, cooler, innovative presses. And tell me about choosing them and some of the things that you found particularly great about that press.
Oh gosh, they're so good. Their first book was really wonderful and different, and that was three women. And we actually met Juliana, our editor, right around the time that Three Women was about to be released. And we just kind of saw the energy in this little like startup-y office that they had going there. And it was just so clear that their team was really creative and thoughtful and cared so much about their authors. And we kind of said, we want to be part of that. And also Juliana, our editor, is like one of the best book people we know. She like names off great books every time she takes a breath. So being around her this year was really nice.
And when we were talking to her in the first meeting, she talked about how she had already called Ishmael. So that
made us love
that'll her. Do yeah. it. Yeah, that'll do it right there. This is such a cool book, and it's such a great, as I said, it would be such a great gift for Christmas and Hanukkah and whatever holidays we have coming up for the book lovers in your life at such the perfect time to sort of, you know, be trapped at home in the dark winter months and feel like, you know, your voice is being heard out there. I think it's such a great project. It's such a great project.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
So Stephanie Kent and Logan Smalley, the book is the Call Me Ishmael phone book. Again, the phone number is 774-325-0503. And the website is callmeishmael.com. And you can follow you on Twitter and Instagram at, say it again, Calling Ishmael?
Yep, Calling Ishmael.
Calling Ishmael. Wonderful. Thanks so much to both of you for taking the time today. This was so great.
Thank you. We loved talking to you.
That's all the time we have for today. We'll be right back here with you next Wednesday morning. So until next time, thanks so much for joining us. Have a great day.